BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Tuesday's podcast. We replay a chapter in Chris's autobiography, 24 Years at the Tap End. It's the Barley edition. Another listener plays Real or No Real. We play Boss Chicken. And has my friend had the shortest Facebook relationship ever? Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. Okay, you're annoying me because you seem really awake today and I'm not.
I'm just really keen.
Yeah, I'm really not bouncy today. I need to get it together, really, because we're on.
Do you know what it is?
Do you want to slap me or something? Just lightly.
I can slap her to face.
Let's slap her to face, just like a little bit, just because... Not awake today. Can't wake up.
Hang on a sec. I'm not going to let this pass by. So you're giving me a pass to slap you in the face?
I mean lightly. Obviously, I wouldn't condone that kind of behaviour.
And there'll be no repercussions. You genuinely won't look at me in a kind of negative way.
No,
I'm
actually.
To do this right now.
No, I don't want you to do it.
What about a cup of water in the face?
Sit yourself down. No, absolutely not.
Let me slap you.
No. I'm fine. I'll wake up naturally. Coffee's on the way. It's all good. Interested in what people are doing today. Are people back at work? Or are you just kind of like lounging around in bed listening? You've just happened to wake up, but you don't really have to get up this morning.
It's New Year's Eve. I'm thinking.
Yesterday was a nothing day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
New Year's Eve. Who cares about that? But yeah, we're just kind of counting down to New Year really now. Jay is sat in a country and western bar in Las Vegas listening to us.
Yes.
About to go crazy in there and throw in the crab dance.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be one of those bars, though, which I've been to in America, where you go slightly out of town, and it is like the films. Literally, everyone puts their drink down and just looks. As you walk through saloon doors.
But is it one of those bars that if you're British that you can walk into and clean up?
Nah.
No?
No.
Is that a myth?
I think in some places, like if in the major cities, if you're like, oh, hello, I'm British. They're like, oh my God, you're so great. But in these ones, it's generally men, like bikers with handlebar moustaches, not that kind of bar, like the one where they will actually beat you up.
Oh, I thought it was like on Love Actually, you know, where you walk into a bar... And they hear you talk, and then they just come a-flocking.
Have you seen those films in with, like, scary men, normally in a lumberjack shirt, and they're wearing... And they're playing pool?
Yeah, they'll beat you up with a pool cue.
That's it. That's the kind of bar he's in right now. So, yeah, good luck busting out the crab. My mum asked me if I can get a Strictly calendar for her yesterday.
Do you know what? My mum's asked for that as well. I need to tap you up for one of them.
I don't have any.
Now, what month are you?
I don't know.
Lols that you're in a calendar. This is great.
This is better. Lols that my head's a piece of jigsaw.
Yeah.
There's a Strictly jigsaw.
Have you used that yet?
No, I haven't got any of them.
Is this all the Strictly merchandise that there is?
Because I think so.
This has been an idea of someone's.
My absolute favourite is on the final, a lot of the contestants were going around and asking the other contestants to sign their book. And I was like, oh, hang on, where'd you get that? She's like, W.H. Smith. They all had to go and buy them.
Mm.
So Alison Hammond went into the local branch of W.H. Smith, one of the contestants on this year's Strictly Come Dancing, and was like, can I have the Strictly annual, please? And the woman was like, oh, you're in this, aren't you? How embarrassing.
You're not nude in it or
swimwear
or anything like that. It's not like...
No, I've just got a Santa hat on. I'm December. I'm not.
I think it's a shame that they haven't gone down the crab route with you, but like swimwear crab. I don't really want to see you in swimwear. I just mean that it would just be a good gimmick for the calendar.
Do you know what I'm so pleased about? In between... Have you seen Big Fat Quiz of the Year?
Yes, you're on.
It's in the montage.
Yeah, it's right. A moment. Honestly, the crab dance was a moment.
Of the year? It's sandwiched in between like stuff like Downton and Great British Bake Off. It's just me like moving across like a crab.
I'll never forget it because I was tweeting from the Radio 1 Twitter and I remember they kind of entrusted me with that and they were like, there was all these rules, you know, be careful about what you write. Remember, the Radio 1 Twitter goes out to so many people, be careful. Then you came on the screen doing the crab thing and I didn't know what to type. I just typed a load of letters.
So happy to be on that montage. I'm also finding myself watching quite a lot of those... clip programmes at the moment, just because it's Christmas. Did anyone see Christmas Epic Fails last night with Angus Deaton?
No.
Just loads of Santas falling over on the ice.
Really?
It amused me for an hour.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
It's Scott Mills here. This morning, lots of things coming up, including a replay in the chapter of Chris's life, his autobiography, 24 Years at the Tap End.
Now, it's not an old one, but it is a bit old, but it's not really, really old. It's one from this year, because we did a special edition, if you remember, and it was about his adventure of self-discovery in Bali. Chris had never been further than Greece before, keeping it Europe.
I wasn't fussed about going anywhere else either, I must point out.
You're not the travelling kind, really.
No.
You don't really want to go travelling, do you? Quite happy here.
I believe that you can see the world through the eyes of people like David Attenborough. You can watch it on TV. You know what I mean? I'm not that fussed about going.
Yeah. So far you've been Malia, Kavos, Napa.
Zante.
But he spread his wings this year and flew. And it was good. It was a good tap end. So we're going to do that just after 9:15, if you're around then. Real or no real will be 8:45. Oh, hang on a second. Didn't we talk about this yesterday? Did not, for the first time, your family and your girlfriend's family meet up yesterday?
They did, yes.
First time.
So they met up yesterday. I was, of course, worried about this. Because it's a tense situation, you know? It's like when foreign dignitaries come and come to the country and meet the royals. It's like, it feels like there's a lot of preparations and the cars arrive in a sort of convoy.
Yeah.
So it was my sister's side
like
of the family. Yeah, my mum and dad turned up. Yeah. It was all very tense.
Okay.
Hands were shook. Lasagna was eaten.
Did you drink through it?
I did, yeah.
You said you were going to.
But I was texting you throughout, just to keep you aware of what was going on. But no, everyone seemed to get on.
No fights. Incredible.
Ideal. And also, conversation wasn't as forced as I thought it was going to be. And also, at times, quite funny.
Oh, wow, okay.
Like, genuinely quite funny. You know how you have awkward laughter around the table?
Yeah, what, like, kind of...
Yeah, but not actually
funny.
It wasn't too much career laughing.
Oh, excellent.
So I think they're going to remain friends.
And what were you talking about mostly?
Weirdly, my mum liked to talk about all the things that you've put her through throughout this show. I didn't realise how much my poor mum has been through.
Like what?
Via this show. A bit like there was a time apparently ages ago that you made her smash up a load of her belongings.
I don't remember that.
Like basically encouraged her to have a clear out of her house and loads of things that reminded her of me when I was at university. You got her to smash those up in a game.
Why did that happen?
It was like if she won, she got to keep it. And if she didn't, she had to smash it up.
Can we do that again? Let's write that down.
There was another thing where you made her shout out a car window that she loves Pitbull.
I remember that one. Oh, wow. So I this show and me were the icebreaker yesterday.
You were a talking point.
That's fantastic. I'm really pleased I could help.
BBC Radio 1.
Seriously, if you get to see any pictures today online, do look at the pictures of Miley Cyrus meeting her boyfriend's dad, Arnold Schwarzenegger. They are lolageddon. I'm looking at other stuff, just checking out who's in Barbados today. Jodie Marsh, she's there. Wow, that's... That bikini is too small, I'm saying, Marsh. Side boob. Also...
Is she one of Simon Cowell's harem, then?
Well, no, but I think she's one that's just turned up.
Honestly, is there, like, a celebrity WhatsApp group or something like that where you find out where you're all going to go on holiday? Like, why is Barbados a thing this year?
It's always a thing for celebs. Every year.
Every year Barbados.
Every year. Celebs of a certain level. Also, Chloe Green. She's there at the moment. Sarah Jane Crawford there in a picture with her. Union J, they're there as well. I'm trying to see, there's new ones arriving every day. Kate Moss there? Oh no, sorry, she's in South America with Naomi Campbell. So many people in hot countries at the moment, famouses. It's really annoying me. Sam Smith's ones are quite annoying as well. I mean, I love Sam Smith, but there he is in the pool in Australia.
I love that you're obsessed with where celebrities are around the world. There's surely got to be an app for this where you can track... you can, like, track them around the globe.
I'll let you into a little secret. It's one of those things, like you have, that actually really annoys me, but I have to look.
Oh, right.
So this morning, the first thing I did was go on Twitter and look at who's on holiday where. And even though I'm like, OK, it's -4 here, I'm really jealous, I have to look. I don't want to, but I have to. Sam Smith's one was the first one that popped up.
Yeah.
There he is in a pool with 4 other men. It looks really hot. And then I go on to the Barbados ones, and then you've got your Union J's, your Simon Cowell's, your Sunita's, your Sarah Jane Crawford's. your Jody Marsh's. It's just it's really annoying me, but I have to look. You got a new one?
Oh, no, I'm just looking up the Jody Marsh pictures right now.
Oh, right, yes. See what I mean?
Yes, maybe I do see what you
should
mean.
Should have bought large.
Should have bought large.
Coldplay next, and what we're going to do is replay a thing that we called Boss Chicken from earlier in the year. Now, you know that we like to put people on hold on this show for no reason. Just get them on and say, please hold.
Oh, I really like, my favourite is when you do it with celebrities, because celebrities never get put on hold.
Right at the start of the year, we put Shakira on hold, famously. She's never been put on hold before. So we have done massively famous people. But we thought we'd ramp it up and change it a little bit. So instead of just hearing hold music when we put this person on hold, they will hear us talking as well. And they will hear absolutely everything we are saying.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Bex has been on, talking about the first time her mum met her boyfriend, now husband. She was like, oh, haven't you got big feet?
Oh, no. Oh,
not the first time.
BBC Radio 1.
Okay, it's 7:19 on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. So you know we like to call people and put them on hold on this show. We've done amazingly famous people before, because they've never been on hold before. They just get their assistant to do it. They don't have to wait for, like, a TV company or a phone provider to
take their call. No, or even the times that, say, you do an interview with them, what will happen is we'll be in the studio and you'll be on hold for a while, sometimes like 20 minutes or something like that. Then as soon as we get through, if that does happen, you will then put them on hold.
Yeah.
That's the funniest thing, because they just don't expect it.
Putting a massive famous on hold is brilliant. So we ramped it up a bit earlier in the year, changed it up a bit. Instead of hearing just hold music like normal, this person will hear us talking as well about them, and we do casually insult them. So we put them on hold, they think they're on hold like normal, but we'll be talking over the music and they'll be able to hear absolutely everything we say. And the reason we ramped it up is because we called our big boss here at Radio 1.
It's just so dangerous.
Yeah, really dangerous. And afterwards, we didn't know whether he was okay or not, did we, for about 20 minutes?
It genuinely was horrible.
It's fairly career limiting. And I was like, well, can someone just go and talk to him and make sure he's all right? Oh, it's awful. But here's what happened when we called our boss. Remember, he can hear absolutely everything we say over the music. But he doesn't realise that. Have a listen, you'll see what I mean. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Rhys, it's Scott, you're right?
Yeah, sorry, mate. Yeah, you were coming up with no caller ID.
Oh, sorry. No, we're in the studio. Chris is here as well. Is now a good time to chat about the show?
Yeah, it's not a bad time now.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. All right, thanks. So yeah, now. Chris is here anyway.
You're right.
Okay. We've got this amazing thing with the Saturdays tomorrow. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have, yeah.
It's so good. It's really, really awkward. And they were actually really up for it, weren't they?
Mm.
It's really good. Oh, Rhys, give me a second. Can I just put you on hold a sec? Hang on, there's a problem in the studio. Yep. Hang on, sorry.
No problem.
Don't you find talking to him really awkward?
It's awkward.
It's like he's got one of those faces that is hard enough to talk to.
I know.
But one of those, his voice is almost worse.
It's just a little bit like... I mean, I dread these catch-ups, to be honest. Mm. I mean, you're just like, well, you've got to have them.
Yeah, do you mind if you do it?
Well, no, you can't leave.
Well, no, I just never really know what to say.
I know.
I'm usually distracted
by... Hard to talk to, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, normally when he walks around the office and that...
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Rhys. Hi. So the Saturday's thing is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Bingo with Grimmy today as well. Awesome.
Yeah,
and if we can we run you through a few other plans that we've got for next week as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Give me a sec. All right, we'll back in a sec.
Do you ever laugh at the stuff he wears? Like, considering he's an office.
Seriously, it's like he's a boss. Like, try and act like one.
The beard.
He's probably on the toilet again with a copy of the Daily Star.
For me, it's his beard.
It's where he takes... That's his office?
It's the beard of someone dodgy.
Never trust a man with that beard.
Have you ever smelt him?
No. I haven't got that close. I've worked with him for years. I mean, he's a great guy, but...
I wouldn't.
No. Hello?
Sorry. Hello.
Hi, sorry. Yes, so next week, we're thinking that we've done this thing called Sack of Shame.
Yes.
Which is really good. It's just basically Chris going up and down in the lift. And yes. We're thinking of running that next week.
Are you going to visualise that?
Yeah, we've already filmed. Hang on a second. Sorry.
You know, he's one of those people that pretends to be hard.
Do you think?
Closet Jedward fan. That's what I'm saying.
Do you think he's like a secret pop queen?
I think so, yeah. I think he's quite angry.
Because he is quite like rude football lads.
That's
isn't
what,
he?
Yeah.
But I think he probably secretly likes, like, Girls Aloud.
Mm. Flower arranging.
And, yeah, Lady Gaga. And
I think he lives a very different life.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think... Like,
but what, his image is different?
Hard image, yeah, secret pop queen.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, he says he likes all these cool bands and that, but, like, where's the evidence?
Yeah, true. Do you rate him as a boss? Like, he's...
Yeah, he's good. I mean, I've worked with him for years. He's always been, you know, good
What's
to me.
What's your least favourite thing about him?
Probably the beard, yeah.
The beard. It's hard to get past that, isn't it?
God. Hello?
Yeah, I am a secret pop queen.
Oh! Oh, did you hear that?
Oh, yeah, everything.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
He heard it all.
Yeah, can you come and see me when you finish your show, both of you, for
okay.
a
All right,
yeah,
fine.
All right then.
In my office.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay,
bye.
Then. Bye then.
Bye. The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills here at 7:40. Calvin Harris and Eddie Goldie outside. Also in there, Bring Me the Horizon and Drown. Before 8 o'clock, I'm going to play you Childish Gambino and Echo Smith and Taylor Swift. Come on, if you're just waking up. It's still that weird bit in between Christmas and New Year. Right, I want to talk about this. So, I'm not going to say any names here, but my friend, and you know this friend, met this guy online recently on the website that rhymes with Judge Rinder. You know what I mean?
I know both the app and I think I know the person.
Hmm. A lot of people meet people on this site, sometimes for love, sometimes just for... I mean, your friends are doing really well on it, some of them, aren't they?
Yeah. Some of them are doing appallingly bad.
Oh, are they?
But some of them are enjoying it, yeah.
It's great. You can, you know, it's a new way of meeting people. It's really fast. It's really quick. A lot of people have success if they're wanting to find love. So my friend hasn't dated anyone for ages, and he really wants a boyfriend. And from chatting to this guy online, they seem to get on really well. But you never know until you've met them, do you, really?
No.
So then they agree to meet up. They've been talking for a few weeks on this app, and then they take each other's WhatsApp. It's all fine. So they meet up a couple of times, really get on well.
Brilliant.
Okay, so it's going... I'm really pleased for my friend. And the other guy is like, hey, let's be boyfriends. We seem to get on really well. And my friend, who really wants a boyfriend, is like, well, why not? I really want a boyfriend. And... I really like him. He seems to like me. This is fantastic. I am not going to be single for Christmas because this happened just before Christmas. And yeah, they seem to really like each other. So what happened then is, well, they met a couple of times, and then when they were just speaking to each other on their phone, the other guy suggests, let's be boyfriends.
Right.
My friend's like, yeah, okay, cool. So changes his Facebook relationship status to in a relationship.
Oh, so it's full on confirmed.
But after the guy, this is really weird. After the guy is like, let's be boyfriends. My friend never hears from him again.
Hey? So he's changed his Facebook status.
My friend has, but the guy has just disappeared into thin air. No one, like, where's he gone? And this is after they've met up a couple of times. I mean, it's nothing, you know, he'll get over it because they've met twice. But he did change his Facebook status to in a relationship.
And they both agreed that. They both knew that was happening. It wasn't just one of them, then the other one's got freaked out and ran away.
No, the other guy was really keen. But then, like, didn't hear from him again, which is really bad. So I'm saying, is this the shortest Facebook relationship ever?
Potentially.
And now, can I ask, if anyone knows, how do you change that without everybody seeing, because it's a problem. And he doesn't, like, I think it was maybe, I'm saying it wasn't even 48 hours.
Oh my word. So, I mean, is it still saying in a relationship at the moment?
Yeah, or? I think it is.
Oh no.
Because he's too scared to change it. And I don't know what the deal is with this other guy. Maybe he's had second thoughts. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I mean, the other guy shouldn't have done it because he's broken the transfer window that we
I totally agree.
But, you know, taking that to one side, potentially this could be the shortest Facebook relationship ever.
Unless anyone else knows better, then text 81199 or tweet at BBCR1. But that's the shortest one I've ever heard of.
Like 48 hours.
I think maybe even less than 48 hours. I don't know what this other guy's story is. Like, it's fair enough. They've met a couple of times. But my friend was so keen to get a boyfriend. He was like, yep, change it immediately. And now, what does he do? Because everyone's going to see it. If anyone knows how to change this without anyone really noticing, then do let me know. Thanks very much.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I want to say to somebody that normally works on the show, whose name is Chris, not you, Chris, another Chris. Hello. He has gone on holiday really far away to try and get away from us for 2 weeks. And I think he's on the way to Thailand. Yeah, it's Thailand. But he has just texted us going, lol that you're on in the British Cafe at Singapore Airport.
Love this.
So they're listening to us in the British Cafe at Singapore Airport right now. You cannot get away from us.
But if this is on right now, this is now incredibly awkward, because if I was in that cafe, I'd be looking around trying to identify the guy that would have texted.
And I hope we're on quite loud in the British Cafe in Singapore Airport, so now everyone is looking around, saying, well, who could it be? Which one normally works on their show? Anyway, good morning, Singapore! Everyone's saying you can change your relationship status to not visible, only visible to you, and then it doesn't give any notifications. Yeah, but then if you're suddenly hiding it, doesn't that make it look weird?
Yeah, but that would only be to people that would then log on looking specifically at your Facebook.
Okay.
You know, to check it. But what you want to avoid is the thing going up in a mini feed with, like, pictures and broken heart signs and stuff like that. That's what you want to avoid.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I feel bad for him, though. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's absolutely fine.
Now, is he sure it's not just, you know, a couple of days of not hearing from him and he's being as dramatic as when they first went into a relationship? It's not saying it's over?
Yeah, no.
Even though it isn't?
It's been a couple of weeks now.
Oh, right. No. Fine.
I like the people going, well, you shouldn't change your Facebook relationship to in a relationship after two dates anyway. It's not a Disney film.
Hmm. I mean, there is something to be said for that.
It is quite a Disney film starring Hilary Duff, isn't it? So my friend met someone and changed his Facebook relationship status to in a relationship. Never heard from him since. I don't have anyone shorter at the moment. I think when you're at school and you're like, yeah, let's be boyfriends and girlfriends, and then it's like a day.
Oh, that can all change by lunchtime.
Yeah, yeah, but like not on Facebook.
Someone says, I can't find their name, but someone texted in saying that he should keep it as in a relationship because that makes him instantly more attractive.
No.
Really?
Dangerous game.
I mean, that's a bit tactical, isn't it?
Graham from Glasgow. Not completely the same thing, but when a girl from my office changed her status to in a relationship, it was immediately followed by a comment from her friend saying, wow, that must have been some first date. Maybe a little bit too soon.
The Scott Mills Daily.
How are you, Jim?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, really good. What's going on? What can you tell me?
Basically, there was a girl who I used to talk to briefly here and there at school, and there was a guy in the year above, I think it was, who had the same first name as me, and our last names were spelled a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And she sent me a friend request one morning, and then in the afternoon, she sent me a relationship request. Now, I thought it was a bit strange, but I accepted it anyway, because she was a good-looking girl. And about 10 hours later, she cancelled it, deleted me off Facebook, and then my friend showed me her profile, and it was another guy from the year above who she was in a relationship with.
Oh.
What? So I don't understand. So you got a fake relationship request?
No, she generally sent the relationship request, but to the wrong person.
Oh, all right.
And I accepted it. That was embarrassing.
Right, yeah, so that's embarrassing for you because you've just accepted a relationship request.
I accepted a relationship request that weren't even for me, so I kind of avoided her after that. It was a bit awkward.
I love that you were like, yeah, she's a good-looking girl.
Go on then.
I'll go on then.
Yeah, I thought, what the heck, give it a go.
The Scott Mills Daily.
One.
This eating thing needs to stop, and it's stopping, girlfriend, today.
You've just got to get out of bed. That's the only way to do it. It's horrible. You just got to go. count down from three and then just do it.
I was hating my alarm this morning so much.
Yeah.
It's 8:16 on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Hey, this was the year, everyone, that my friend Chris here spread his wings and went somewhere different. He is in his mid-20s. He's never been anywhere apart from Kavos, Napa, Malia, Zante. So he went to Bali, which is like really far for you. And it did change him. You can hear exactly what happened because he wrote it all down on his 24 years at the Tap End special from earlier in the year, which we're going to play after nine this morning. A special edition for Chris's adventure of self-discovery in Bali. It's like your gap year, but only in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was my chance to go out there, find myself.
Yeah, and you did.
All that.
Yeah, so special Tap End Bali edition just after nine. Do you remember, though, when you went, we put a little special message on your out of office so that anyone that emailed you would get this message.
Yeah, that's right. So my BBC email address, it would reply to people saying, sounds like a good idea, and then it had my phone number.
Your
underneath.
Mobile.
Yeah.
So
I don't know why I agreed to let... I think it was I let you and the listeners come up with what the message should be and just went with it.
So, as you can imagine, anyone that emailed Chris during the time he was in Bali gets a message going, sounds like a great idea, here's my number. So imagine if some people maybe called him while he was away.
I forgot all about it, though. I seem to remember you left it either quite late in the holiday or even the day I was returning. So I was massively tired.
Yeah.
I'd completely forgotten about the out of office thing.
Yeah. So we rang you up. Were you still in Bali or had you just come back?
I think I'd just come back.
I think you'd just come back. In fact, I think you landed that morning. And we took advantage of the fact that we'd put this on your out of office and maybe made some calls from this studio to Chris. Because it said on his email, sounds like a great idea.
Hello?
Starkey, it's Tony. Tony T, Fandango's Basildon.
Who? Hey.
It's Tony. I'm just phoning to chat about a gig next week.
Sorry, I just woken up. Who's this, sorry?
It's Tony. Just calling about a gig next week. You agreed to do it, so dropped you an email, and you said it sounds good.
Which gig? Which one's this?
Basildon, Fandango's. You're going to warm up for Joey Essex.
I might. Hang on a sec. So, where's... I don't remember this at all.
I dropped you an email last week. You replied, say, sounds good. You left your mobile number, so I'll give you a call now.
Where, what's it called? Fandango's?
Yeah, Fandango's. You're on the flyer. Everyone's pretty excited about it.
What is Fandango's? It sounds gay. Is it a gay club?
No, we're on the retail park.
Oh, Baz Vegas?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, I love it around there. There's a wicked all-you-can-eat Chinese.
Yeah, we're right next door to the Chinese, actually.
I'm sure I've been there.
Yeah, it's rather refit. It's all looking pretty nice in there now. It's Fandango. So I just want to make the final arrangements, really.
How'd you get my number?
It's on your email.
What email?
I emailed Chris Stark. Radio 1, and you hit me back, said, sounds good, you give me your mobile number, so that's why I'm giving you a call now. Said, just want to lock down the sort of final arrangements, Tuesday the 30th.
Yeah.
Got down for a four-hour set, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m, then Joey's on at 1. And he said, can you stay away from the big hits, because he's going to be playing all of those.
For 4 hours?
Yeah, you need a parking space?
Amazing. So what can I play in those 4 hours?
Just stay away from the big ones, because he's going to be playing them all. He's going to be playing them all in the right order.
Okay, and Joey Essex is on afterwards.
Yeah, he's the headliner. He's the main act. But I want you to tweet about it or something, because we're a bit worried about numbers, because Razzmatazz down the road have got Mark Wright on the same night.
I'm sure. But you did say that everyone was very excited about it, or is this just promoter talk?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited, but it doesn't mean everyone's going to turn up, you know, because Mark Wright is competition down the road. So just make it clear that you're warming up for Joey. Make it clear you're warming up for Joey, so you don't want to get his people annoyed either.
He's such a block. What was I going to say to you?
You're definitely up for the gig, yeah?
Yeah, I just need to check something with someone. I'll tell you what, give me a call back in a couple of hours.
Okay, brilliant. Well, let me give you a buzz back in an hour or two, and we'll just lock in the final details. And looking forward to the Tuesday the 30th. It's Tony T.
Tony T.
Nice one, Starkey. I'm looking forward to it, mate. Tuesday the 30th, everyone's going to be up for it.
All right. Okay, cool.
Nice one. Ta-ra, ta-ra.
All right, bye.
Sorry about that. You sounded well tired.
I was so confused.
Because every time someone emailed you, it would have said, sounds like a great idea. Here's my phone number. So we just got Tony T, which is just someone in the office here at Radio 1, to ring you up. Joey Essex is the main event, so can you stay away from all the big hits for 4 hours?
The Scott Mills Daily.
Beyonce, are you okay, hon?
I'm
what is going on?
Freshening you.
Oh. Sam says you can't stop winter bulking today. I've got tons of chocolate from Christmas. So have I. But I am giving it all to my departing family today. My brother's leaving today and my mum. I'm like, yeah, take the chocolates. Go for it.
Little party bag.
Treat yourself. Is it a party sack, actually? have them all, because otherwise I will just eat them. It's Tuesday, meh, and it's the one after Christmas, double meh. But if you think you're having a hard morning, I just tried to find the chorus in that song. Beyonce, 7-Eleven.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So loads of people just can't get out of bed this morning. Like Luke from Cumbria, just find it really hard. Chloe from Bournemouth, who's been sat now at the bus stop for an hour, absolutely freezing, because buses are on special timetable. Honey, there ain't nothing special about today.
Why are you being so sassy today?
I don't know.
You've had a right dig at Beyonce. Now you're going full sass.
Mm-hmm.
I glossed over it, but you called me girlfriend about 5 minutes ago.
Fingernail emoji.
What's going on?
I don't know. I'm channeling Wendy Williams today. Do you know her?
No. Who's that?
Just Google Wendy Williams, Queen of Sass.
Sassy Tuesday for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, she's a talk show host in America, and I don't know why, just to find her absolutely hilarious.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Can we all check if Rita Ora is okay this morning, please? She's been singing with her parents on Instagram. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen this. So she's just put up this tweet saying how much she loves her dad and how much she loves singing with him. Here it is. Singing with parents.
Crying my pain with his finger.
Yes, he was singing my life with his mom.
Two times.
Just got up on Rita's Instagram.
I love it because she's so caught up in a moment. She just uploaded it straight away. She's put, singing with parents is the best feeling in the world, especially with my dad. They're the best thing in my whole life.
She's got to be somewhere else in the world, because why would you be doing that with your parents at 8:30?
True, she has put hashtag drunksinging.com.
Right, yeah. I reckon she's probably... Maybe in America, I reckon.
Drawing my pain with his finger.
Yes, he was singing my life with his mom.
Two times.
Aww. Is her mum really called Vera Ora?
Oh, yeah, in the tweet, she's added at Vera Ora. So I'm not sure if she's in the video. Need to have another look. But Vera Ora.
It sounds like something you put on for something quite painful.
It's quite aloe vera.
Pain? You need Vera Ora.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Good morning, Russell.
Good morning, Scott.
Or are you scampy, though?
I'm known as either, so you can call whatever you like, Scott.
Okay, right. So is there going to be like some fish-related reason for your nickname?
Sadly not, no, it's really rubbish.
Go on.
When I was at college, it was somebody else's nickname, and I looked like them, so I looked called Scampy Jr., so...
What, so someone else's fish-related nickname is rubbed off on you?
It has indeed, yeah.
I hear that you're going out in Bournemouth on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, potentially, yeah, that's what we're looking to do.
Bournemouth's a good night out. I've got FOMO for BOMO.
FOMO for BOMO. Does anyone else call it BOMO?
I think so.
That's brilliant.
FOMO I've never heard BOMO. It called that.
It's a good night out, Bournemouth.
Who are you going to BOMO with?
Just my girlfriend, Yaz.
Here's the thing, though. Like, when you go out with your girlfriend, it's just you and your girlfriend on New Year's Eve. Where do you go, please? Do you go to clubs?
Not really. I mean, this is only our second year together. Last year we had a quiet one, so we don't know what we're going to do yet. We'll probably just go down. We'll see how it goes. We might go to the club. We might just go and see if there's any fireworks or something. We ain't too sure yet.
Yeah.
Is there any part of you that's got FOGO about BOMO in the sense that you're scared of going out making a fool of yourself on New Year's Eve?
I definitely would not be allowed myself to do that.
Good man.
Or sometimes I get FOGO of going out, and I was right, because I'll end up at the stroke of midnight generally crying on some steps outside a club somewhere. And let's play Real or No Real. It's a selection of ones from this year, but can we all remember whether they're right or wrong?
When Usain Bolt won his first 100-metre Olympic gold medal, breaking the world record in the process, he had one shoelace undone.
I remember us doing this one. This is the thing with all these Real or No Reals. They're all ones from the year. And it's really frustrating because I remember saying to my mate this fact
and blagging it as if it was real, but not 100% sure whether it was real or no real.
It's a great fact, though, this one, if it's true.
I don't remember this one coming up.
Bolt,
I'll be honest.
Bolt is ridiculous. You know who the one is, Scott?
Yeah, I know. He's fastest man in world.
Yeah, didn't you race him or something once?
And I got him to say, so I could play it again and again, "Hi, I'm Usain Bolt, and Scott Mills beat me."
This is amazing. I've just seen what you beat him at.
What?
So, Bolt is a world record holding sprinter, but can he name five Kylie Minogue songs quicker than Scott?
That was it. That was it. And I beat him, surprisingly. The only thing I'll ever beat Usain Bolt at.
That's so good.
So was it Usain Bolt's shoelace undone on one of his races?
I'm going real.
Russell?
No real.
That one is real.
Oh, he's such a show-off. His left shoe was left undone during the 100-metre final of the Beijing Olympics in 2008. No big deal. Unbelievable. Next.
The average age of the cast of The Inbetweeners is older than the average age of McFly.
No, but McFly have been around... Obviously, McFly have been around way longer because The Inbetweeners was only on TV, but I mean...
Is this the remainder of what McFly has left, or is it the original McFly lineup, though?
I believe it's the original McFly lineup. I mean, they are getting on a bit now, Inbetweeners.
No, but The Inbetweeners was still way more recent than McFly. Surely, I would have said The Inbetweeners were younger on this one, so... That would mean this is no real.
Scampi?
I'm going to go no real as well.
So you think the Inbetweeners are younger than McFly, both of you?
Definitely.
That one is real.
What? Yep, so the average age of the Inbetweeners, 29. Average age of
really?
McFly, 28.
No way. No.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's because they're playing younger characters. And next.
All eight members of X Factor band Stereo Kicks were moved around in a separate car.
Eight separate cars there.
I take it this was in their heyday.
What, like 6 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when they were massive on the show.
Yeah.
Now they'll just travel by the double-decker bus.
It's tricky for them, isn't it? Because, I mean, it needs all of them to arrive at a gig. Let's say they get a gig somewhere. I don't know why they would do it separate cars. It's not the most cost-efficient ways when you've then got to split the money at the end of it eight ways.
Here's the thing about Stereo Kicks. I love them. They were on the show. They're really nice lads. But there is a slight problem that they've come across already, and that is... Obviously, they'll be wanting to do a lot of nightclub appearances right now. Only six of them are allowed to do them, because the other two aren't allowed in.
Oh, really?
That's true. So you get six of Stereo Kicks, not the normal eight, because two are too young to get in the club.
Statistically, one of those is going to be ill. You know, one of them's going to have another commitment. So, I mean, whenever you see Stereo Kicks, you're going to get 3/8.
Statistically, someone's going to be having an off day.
You're going to get a fraction of them.
But did they move around in separate cars, Scampi?
I'm going to say that's no real.
I don't think they're big enough yet to have that privilege, so I'm going to say no real.
That one is no real.
No real is the correct answer. They always travel together. And finally today...
In the lyrics to Pitbull's song I Know You Want Me, Caliocho, he gets the film director Alfred Hitchcock's name wrong. Instead, calling him Albert.
Oh, Pitbull. This is classic 305, though, isn't it?
Mm. I'm not sure how much of what Pitbull says is factually accurate as a whole. I'm sure if we looked into it, we could find plenty more examples of Pitbull lies.
Like, I don't think a girl ever said to him, "Pit, you can have me and your sister." And it never happened. But in his head, I mean, that is one of his lyrics.
I don't know, he is pretty big.
Yes, he is. But he's very boastful. And I also don't know if he could really back it up.
Like a Tonka truck.
Yeah, exactly. That's another one.
Tonka, hey! So, he calls him Albert Hitchcock in the song I Know You Want Me, Caliocho, which I believe is one of his first ones.
I do know there's a line about Hitchcock, but I would have been surprised if he got that so wrong. No real.
Scampi?
I'm going to go real then.
That one is real.
Oh, Pitbull, you absolute salad. So, the lyric goes... Watch him make a movie like Albert Hitchcock. Why did no one tell him? And what, like, how come no one changed that?
Classic bull.
And at the end of that round, a real or no real?
I got 20, Scampi got 20.
It's a fair and square draw, lads.
Thank you very much.
What are you doing the rest of the day, Scamps?
I've got to go and do some decorating, I'm afraid.
What's wrong with that?
It's boring, I'd rather be on the Xbox.
Are you, we talked about this on the show yesterday... Are you wearing shorts, even though it's freezing?
I'm not today, no.
Oh,
too cold for shorts today.
Painters and decorators generally wearing shorts all year round, as are postmen.
I'll go and put them on just for you, Scott.
All right, that's weird.
That is really weird.
Good to speak to you. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. The Scott
Mills Daily. Right, so, you know about 24 years at the Tap End, we used to do it in the afternoon. It's just stories in diary form from Chris's life. And up until this point, mostly used to revolve around stories about his mates or girls, and generally didn't go further than Watford and the surrounding area. But this was a big time this year in Chris's life. It was his first holiday, like the other side of the world. This is the furthest he's ever been. Chris doesn't really see the point in travelling. He's quite happy with what he knows here in the UK. I mean, he's been to Cavos, Napa, Malia.
I've been, that's the thing, I've travelled the world.
Well, those places. So he didn't really feel the need to go anywhere else, but was forced into it. And so he kept a diary of events on his holiday, as suggested by me. And here it is. It was a special of 24 years at the tap end when Chris went to Bali.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the tap end.
At the tap end.
I'm not sure the theme tune's aged well.
It sounds quite off its time now, doesn't it? It's a bit like the Friends theme.
Yeah. I think you had to be there at the time.
So we're all agreed this is a good idea then, are we? We're going to do this.
It's a bit like some Christmas episodes, though. There's a lot of anticipation for this, and sometimes they're not very good.
Maybe, but why are we doing this? There's no particular reason we're doing this as a special. It's a random special. I'm not sure I agree with it.
Let's hear about Chris's holiday to Bali. It's opened up his eyes, it's given him a lot of new experiences, and made him write another 24 years at the tap end. I am so excited for this, I need a Kleenex tissue.
I'm keen of the swingers, the jungle VIP.
Okay, so I am ready.
And I'm ready. Everything in my life was generally going well. Against the expectations of most people, I was continuing to hold down a job on the Scott Mills Show on BBC Radio 1. I was really slowly blossoming in looks, and I had successfully secured a girlfriend.
Who says you're blossoming in looks?
I do feel that when I look at pictures of myself from when I was younger, as in only a couple of years ago, I am improving. I am going to be one of those that hits 50 or 60 and I'm at peak.
Like poor Hollywood.
Like poor Hollywood, Philip Schofield. Right. People who get better with age.
Mm.
In fact, as a group of mates, we were all doing well, and I was proud of them all. It was a bit like one of the later American Pie movies, where it was quite weird seeing them growing up. Sir Dossa was holding down a job, Chango the Beast had bought a flat, and the convict had stayed out of trouble long enough that technically he was the convict no more.
God, things have really changed, haven't they?
I feel kind of awkward about this tapping because for me this is like watching American Pie The Reunion. It's not as good as the original.
Is this like American Pie 6?
Hmm, it's feeling like that, isn't it?
With none of the original cast in.
I mean, the original cast are there, but they're all doing grown-up things, you know. It's very different to the Cavos times, the Malia times. The lads were beginning to spread their wings. Chazza and Cantona had gone on a trip across America together. I should point out for this, there's nothing dodgy. I mean, our group relationship is very much the same. We're all just friends.
Yeah, I know.
So Chazza and Cantona haven't been getting off with each other.
Well, I've never suggested that.
No, I know, but I just...
No one even thought about that.
No, but when I said a trip across America, it did sound a little bit, you know...
Brokeback.
Yes.
No, it's not that.
Yeah.
No one thought that, it's just in your head.
Although, I did hear a story that one night they get caught up, because apparently the Americans are
it's always one night, isn't it?
Liberal, but there was a night in somewhere close to California, I believe, where they faced a situation where they both had to see each other naked.
Oh, why?
And they don't really speak about it anymore. I heard from another friend that that had happened.
But why did they?
I can't say.
Oh.
Everyone was booking holidays for new reasons, to relax or to explore new lands. I knew it was about time I should venture away. And however anxious I was to holiday in unfamiliar lands, I booked a holiday with my girlfriend to the other side of the world. I was going to Bali. I didn't have a clue what it was going to be like. Would it have a similar vibe to the hustle and bustle of Cavos? Or have slightly more class to it, like Zante? My girlfriend wouldn't let me make shirts for the trip, and it felt strange being in an airport in normal clothes. I thought it would be a nice thing to do as a couple, to to go out in shirts.
What, like you used to do with the lads?
Yeah. Like, make a real proper holiday of it. But she thought that was, that wasn't the done thing.
It's not that kind of holiday.
And also, I couldn't think of a decent slogan that would be appropriate.
No.
Because it wasn't a lad's holiday.
It's not really for a couple's holiday shirt.
No.
She was right. I understand why she said that.
The flight was proper long, but one of the greatest experiences of my life. This was an incredible start to my holiday. For 13 hours, I watched films, and as drinks were included in the price, I got right involved. I also read somewhere it might help beat jet lag.
Who told you that?
Will go. I just read it somewhere.
No,
it
says
the best way to deal with a long-haul flight...
is get drunk.
Yes.
No, it's not. That's not true. They always tell you to drink a lot of water, stay hydrated, and don't drink much alcohol at all.
It was a bit of a weird one, though, because they sort of enforced an airline rule on me, which was they decided when I was going to go to sleep. Because of the time difference and stuff like that. So I was on the plane,
yeah.
And about an hour into the flight,
they
even though it was
off.
About 10 o'clock at night, yeah. I was eating breakfast.
That's what happens.
I was like, don't try and make me... Like, don't pretend that this is breakfast time. It's not breakfast time.
And also what they do is, like, it might be still, like, 4 p.m. at home, but because where you are in the sky, it's nighttime, they will just turn the lights off.
Yeah.
And then you have to put the reading light on.
And you're just expected to adapt like that.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
It's like, I'm not a child. Don't put me to bed. First stop on my Bali holiday was a place called Ubud. This was the real deal. Rice farmers working in the fields and stray dogs on the streets. The place was chaos, mopeds everywhere, and what seemed like no order or system of traffic. Travelling around was terrifying. The hotel I was staying in was in the middle of what looked like a jungle, and there were actual lizards in the room. I felt a bit like Bear Grylls in this environment.
Oh my God, are you serious?
But wanted to be careful. Having read up before I left, I felt it wise to take the following preventative measures. I really didn't want to get ill. Antibacterial hand gel. Mosquito netting. Mosquito repellent cream. Electronic mosquito repellent plugs, one in each socket. All over factor 50. Large hat including flap. Loose-fitting trousers. Socks for bed. Umbrella. Water purification tablets. And Dioralite. On the second day, I got a cold. It really annoys me, actually, because I spent so much money. These things aren't cheap. To protect yourself when you go on holiday, it's not cheap.
No.
Right? And I went all out with it. So it does kind of annoy me that in the hottest place I've probably ever been, I was ill.
You got a cold.
Like, you almost feel like you should get a refund. Like, Bali should refund me for that.
Did you take any cold and flu tablets with you?
I didn't, actually, no. I didn't think... I mean, I genuinely didn't think I'd get a cold.
But at least you were protected from mosquitoes.
I knew I had to venture out at some point and so reluctantly agreed to visit a monkey sanctuary. The main reason I wanted to go was to get a picture of me and a monkey to be able to show people that I was getting involved. But the place was chaos. It was similar to something off Tomb Raider, with temples overrun by monkeys. Do you remember Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a who now.
Possibly, yeah.
These were bold monkeys in the sanctuary. They would do anything for a banana. They would jump on you and
anything?
Pretty much. Mm. That's all they accepted, bananas. As soon as you got a banana out, they went crazy for it.
They love them. I know.
They genuinely, that's not a joke. That's not a cliche.
Did you not know?
Monkeys love bananas.
I know that, yeah. Monkeys do like bananas. It's not a shock to me that.
They would jump on you and rob anything they can. There was no communicating or reasoning with them. So it wasn't long before I left. I did get a picture, though.
I know, I saw it.
Nights out were great in Bali. Beers were cheap. My favourite nights out were in a place called Seminyak. For one night, to shake things up a bit, I decided to book a boat party. I was told it would involve traditional Balinese entertainment. I'm not sure how to pronounce that word.
Balinese.
I was told it would involve traditional...
You're saying it Bolognese.
Balinese entertainment.
Yeah.
Large parts of the night are hazy, but I woke up with a picture of me and what looked like two topless tribal chiefs dancing.
Oh, you sent me that one.
Mm.
Who were those boys?
I'm still not sure.
That they look like they're friendly with you.
Not at all. There was nothing like that.
You don't remember?
No, they were just. We had a couple of drinks.
You said it was hazy.
This was what travelling was all about. I was having great nights out and cultural experiences in the day. I was meeting fascinating people and I was slowly tanning.
You weren't really tanning, were you? Look at you.
How harsh.
There's hardly anything there. What factor were you putting on, please?
50. And then towards the end of the holiday, moved down to 30 just to get it right.
50 sunblock.
No. You're not,
50 is sunblock.
Anyway.
It is. Right, I'm enjoying this. Is it about to get even better?
Definitely.
The Scott Mills Daily.
A lot of people commenting about the monkey sanctuary and how the monkeys hiss at you if you don't feed them. Brilliant. Thanks, Graham and Skipton. So this is the time of his life. Chris spreading his wings and flying in Bali, furthest he's ever been. So he wrote a special 24 years at the tap end about it. Good times, eh?
Yeah.
Special time in your life. And it's about to get really interesting.
Perhaps my most reflective moment came on the beach, about a week and a half into the holiday. I was offered a massage and was taken to a bed on the seafront. I'm sure you'll be interested at this point, Mills. You love a massage.
I do, actually.
And, of course, I had my first ever massage with you in Kavos.
In Kavos, yeah.
So, for me, it's a really weird moment, this. You know, I'm on holiday. I've chosen to have a massage. You've not just nominated me to have one. I've decided, yeah, I am going to go and have this massage for myself.
I'm really pleased about that, actually. I'm quite proud of you.
Without you being there.
Yeah, it's really good.
Should point out as well, this bed on the seafront, it was an odd one because I expected to then be taken to the local hotel to be dealt with.
Yes.
That wasn't the case. What happened is I was led to, you know, it was like a table, like almost like I was about to be given as an offering. It was odd. It was like a dinner table.
Right, by the sea.
Yeah. The masseur held up a towel for privacy and indicated that I should remove my swim shorts.
Oh.
I was reluctant to do this and explained in broken English that I was wearing no pants. I did it in broken English to try and...
What, like me?
Yes, I was like, no pants. Pants, no. And gestured.
Well, they don't know that how scarred you were from the previous time you had a massage in Kavos,
I know,
do they?
And I didn't want to make any mistakes, no. So I just wanted to make it clear that if the swim shorts go, there's nothing under there.
Yeah. And did she understand that, being Bolognese?
I was in full view of sunbathers on the beach, but did as instructed. This was a Balinese massage, I assumed, and I did not want to cause any disrespect. As I removed my shorts, the sea air gently tickled my cheeks, and although no one on the beach could see, due to the towel, the masseur had seen everything.
Mm. They're used to it there, though.
She didn't comment.
No, they don't comment. Well, what are they going to say? That's all right.
Technically, I was stood naked on a beach in Bali, and it felt like I was truly connecting with nature. I lay down on my front. The Balinese massage was more thorough than I've ever experienced.
Did she stand on you?
At one point, she had both knees on me.
Yeah, that's normal.
I was tense, but the sound of the waves against the shore was a beautiful and relaxing thing. It was an incredible experience. At one point, the masseur's thumbs brushed upwards towards an area I was unsure they were meant to. I felt slightly uncomfortable. She kneaded my posterior, like Paul Hollywood needs a firm dough. And then she once again got close. A second brushing in the region suggested that it was intentional and that this was fine.
Oh. On the beach?
Yeah. It was simply a more thorough massage than I'd ever experienced. As the sound of the waves lapped the shore and a stranger's hands yet again delved perilously close, I suddenly became reflective. My first thought was of Scott Mills.
Oh.
Oh, no, that's not how it's meant. It's not meant to sound like that. What? Back in London, and that's it. My first thought was of Scott Mills back in London.
All right, okay.
And the amazing times I was having on Radio 1. I thought of my friends back home and how we were all growing up. It was bold of me to have gone to Bali, but it was right that I spread my wings. That massa was helping me find myself, perhaps teaching me a valuable lesson. Live your life to the full, take things right to the edge, and enjoy the crack.
Is that it?
Yeah. It was a really kind of strong moment. It was like, you don't have to hold back anymore.
Mm.
Live your life to the full.
Spread your wings.
Spread your wings.
And you did.
Yeah.
Didn't you? Oh, I actually really enjoyed that.
Did you?
Yeah, I really did. Thank you.
It was a really good couple of weeks, and I don't know where I'm going to go away next, or if indeed if I will go away somewhere next. But I think this is going to be the first of a lot of travels.
I think you've broken the seal now. I think you're going to be like a traveller now.
Right.
Definitely up for new experiences. Thanks very much for that. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed sharing it with you.
Theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
I forgot some of the details of that. It was good to hear it again.
BBC Radio 1.
And since that happened, where do you think your next trip will be, or do you think that is it now?
I don't know. I mean, is it kind of done? Travelling done?
I don't know. There are other places to go in the world.
I really like the idea of going to Australia. I feel like that's a place that I would go and find myself.
Would you like to go to Australia?
A couple of weeks in Australia to go find myself would be great.
But it's not as... Even though it's further away, it's kind of like being here. You see what I mean?
But I think that's what's appealing.
Oh, right, I see. Oh, I don't want it to be alien to me.
No.
Yeah, but Bali was. And good for it, I think.
Do you feel I came back a different person?
Slightly, yes. Hello to the person that in Bali did a 2-for-1 massage with their mum. Got really confused during the massage there. Yeah, I know, some of the messages are quite confusing. 2-for-1 isn't what I thought it meant.
Right.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Yesterday after the show, me and Chris went Christmas shopping. I know what you're thinking, but Christmas was last week. Yeah, but not if you're only seeing the relatives now. That's true, isn't it, Chris?
But it's a clever idea, isn't it? I've got a lovely bath set.
So these are people that you've not seen since Christmas.
Well, I've avoided them at Christmas time so I can give them Christmas presents now.
Did you actually avoid them?
Of course, it's cheaper.
All right, maybe I'll see you on, like, the 30th. 50% off. Should we go again? Or are you done now?
Can do more if you want, yeah.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
We're back tomorrow morning from 6:30, including the chart of the year from 8 o'clock.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.